All right, tonight, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me. We'll be in a couple of places, but first of all, in 1 Peter, chapter number 1. 1 Peter, chapter number 1. I'm going to be dealing tonight with a subject that ought to be joyous to us, is that what we have awaiting for us are wonderful, great things. And the scripture here in Peter tells us some things. And then we'll be reading also in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And we'll be looking at those two particular passages tonight. And just dealing with why is the glory waiting, or the glory that awaits you and I, what a wonderful day that it is for us. And so we begin reading in chapter 1 of 1 Peter. Verse number 1, and we'll read a few of these verses here in this chapter. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. And we'll leave off the reading here in 1 Peter, there in the middle of that verse. Peter tells us that there are those that have been in his ministry, those whom he has met, the strangers, and he lists some places. And he tells them that they are the chosen of the Lord, or the elect of God. Sometimes that word elect scares people. A lot of controversy over the election of God. But he says here, according to the foreknowledge of God, God in his foreknowledge chose and elected those whom would follow him and would be sanctified of the Spirit. The only way an individual is ever going to be saved is by the sanctification of the Holy Spirit of God, that sets us apart, takes us out of the kingdom of darkness and puts us and plants us in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those first two verses there are really just a salutation or a greeting to those whom he is writing to. And then he tells us that we have an inheritance in verse number 4. And it's all based upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we have tonight in 2018, all the way back to when Peter wrote this, it is all based upon the resurrection of our Lord. If Paul tells us, if the Lord had not arose from the dead, we have, of all men, would be most miserable. We'd still be in our sins, and we'd die without God. And so the resurrection is that pivotal point. It's that foundational doctrine that we build everything upon concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the faith that we have in him. And he tells us here that we have an inheritance that we're coming to. He describes it. We've looked over these things many times. It's an inheritance that's incorruptible. That means it's perfect, it's pure. And it's an inheritance that God has given to us that have been begotten as that living hope, or that lively hope, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Our inheritance not only is incorruptible, but it's undefiled. It has no defilement in it at all, and it fadeth not away. It's not going to go away. It's always there. Thank God the blessings and the treasure that the Lord has given to us, it never fades away. It never disappears. And so we find that it is a permanent blessing that God gives to you and I that are Christians. And it's reserved in heaven for us. It's reserved. It's waiting for us to occupy, waiting for us to take. And he says it's for you. And then he goes on. You'll notice that after you is a comma, so it's a continuation. For you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And then verse 6 says, we greatly rejoice, even if it's for every once in a while, even if it's for a season, there's great rejoicing for the child of God when he realizes, when that individual realizes what the Lord has reserved for him, what God has kept for him in store, and that perfect salvation that God gives to us. Now, if you turn back with me just for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. We have a warfare that goes on, and we have that battle that continually takes place. But we are covered by the wonderful grace of our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9 says, but as it is written, that means it's somewhere else in the Scripture, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Some of those things are mentioned in 1 Peter. So it says, the eye hath not seen, the ear has not heard, but it goes deeper than that. It goes even into the thoughts and the process of living, and it says, neither has it entered into the heart of man. We cannot imagine the joys and the beauty that God has prepared for us. And so Paul, as he writes to that Corinthian church, he says, as it is written. And so that being said, there's another place in the Scripture that gives us basically the same context. It's not word for word, because one is Old Testament, one is New Testament. But in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 4, Isaiah writes under the inspiration of the same Holy Spirit that Paul was writing. And verse number 4 of Isaiah 64 says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. And so the Lord has prepared, the Lord has given, and our eyes have not beheld it yet, our ears have not heard it, our hearts have not expressed it or felt it, because it's awaiting for us in glory. So glory is waiting for us. Glory is there for the child of God. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll forget about what the Lord has for us and what he has done for us. I heard someone speaking, and I don't remember who it was. I just in passing heard them say, we're glad that we don't get what we deserve. I thank the Lord I don't get what I deserve. If I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be here tonight. The Lord had already taken me out of this world because of who we are, what we are, the sins that's in our life, and the rebellion against God, many times even in our heart. But we have some things reserved for us that we do not deserve, that we should not have. But God, by his grace and by his mercy, has given us these things that we can look forward to. I look forward to one day seeing the Lord. What a wonderful day that'll be. I can see him now with the eye of faith, but I have never seen him with my physical eye. But when we get to heaven, we'll have a physical eye. We'll have a new body, and we'll be raised in his likeness, newness of life, and we will literally look upon the physical feature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, our eyes have not seen. we talk about and we sometimes sing about the angelic choir. And we talk about all the things that are taking place and the joys and the shouts of glory. But we've never heard that. But one day we will, because the Lord has promised us that. And so Isaiah told the Jews, and Isaiah was writing to the Jews in Isaiah 64:4. And he says, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen what he has prepared for us. So here's Isaiah writing to the Jew, and some 500 years later, Paul writes to the Gentile, and he tells them the same thing. I'm glad tonight God doesn't distinguish who we are by what nationality. He doesn't distinguish anything about us other than we're saved by grace. And anybody who goes to heaven goes the same way. Anybody who goes to glory, whether Jew, Gentile, or whatever you want to classify people in as their ethnic group, it doesn't matter who they are, red, yellow, black, white, it doesn't matter. Only way to get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through He alone that we have these things promised unto us. Every born-again believer has a reservation. It's reserved for us in heaven. We have a lot of reservations in our life. We have appointments that we make, and some we keep, some we don't keep. Some we have to redo, and some we have to take another time at it. But there's some appointments that the Lord's given to us that we will keep. And there's some reservations that have been given that we will experience. We are appointed unto man once to die, and we're going to face that one day. We hear every day, we read every day, we understand that folks are dying, and that appointment is for them. And when our appointment comes, we will keep that. I'm sure, Dr. Hagg, you have a lot of people make appointments and then remake appointments continually. And that's how life is. But you're not going to remake the appointment with God. He says, appointed a man wants to die. And one day he shall die. One day, whoever, man, woman, whoever it might be, wherever they might be, one day they're going to face death. But we have, as a believer, as we have that appointment, we also have a reservation. Now, there's some things reserved for us, and there's some things that have been given to us, given freely. And one day we'll experience glory forever, the glories of the Lord. No one will be lost in the shuffle. All the billions of people upon this earth, God knows everything about every one of them. No one will be lost in the shuffle. Nobody will be misplaced. And a child of God, there's glory that waits for him. And for the sinner, there's gloom and damnation that waits for that individual. There's going to be a homecoming day in heaven. There's going to be a time we meet those that have gone before us. There's going to be a time that we will see those that we knew that were Christians and they've gone on before us. One day we'll meet them, but the greatest meeting we'll have is when we meet our Lord Jesus Christ. Every blood-bought child from all ages will be present, and we'll stand before Him, and we'll rejoice, and we'll experience these things that have been reserved for us as a believer. Why is that to take place? Why would that happen? Peter talks very emphatically here about this reservation. He talks about how that it's reserved, how that it's perfect, how that it's incorruptible, it's not defiled, it's not going to disappear. It's kept by the power of God, and we are kept by that same power. Our fare has been fixed, thank God. It takes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ stamped upon our heart. And we have that, we have been purged. Our sins have been forgiven. And we're not perfect, but thank God we are forgiven. We've seen that bumper sticker at different times. Not perfect, but forgiven. I'm glad tonight I am forgiven. And I'm perfect in Him and not in my flesh, but in His dealings with me. So I've been purged. The sin has been removed from my being. even though I still experience it in my flesh one day shall see God, and it shall be purged from sin also. The sins have been paid for. Not one of them gone unpaid. You can think about your own life. We don't have to talk about the past things. We don't have to talk about the problems of the past, but thank God every one of those is under the blood. And praise the Lord for that. Our entrance into heaven has been fixed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we found here in verse number 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, it has been planned by God. We're not going to heaven by mistake. Nothing happens in this world by mistake. Nothing happens just by chance. God is in control of all of it. And praise the Lord, one of these days I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 1, 2, and 3, it says, God, who at sundred times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the Father by the prophets. That's how God spoke in the Old Testament. He spoke to them by the prophets in those different times, and then those in different ways God spoke to them. But now notice verse number 2. Hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. I'm glad we don't have a prophet that we have to look to. We have the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Son of God. It's whom, says, whom He hath appointed heir over all things, and whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had made, when He by Himself purged our sins. He took them away. When He by Himself, He didn't have to have any help, didn't have to have any assistance. When the Lord died upon Calvary, He purged us from our sins. And then it says, set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So Jesus Christ tonight is at the right hand of the Father. That's given to us many times in the Scripture. And the Bible says here that He made the worlds, and He speaks to us through His Son. God speaks to us through the Son of God. He speaks to us through the Word of God. The Word was made flesh, John chapter 1, and dwelt among us. And that Word is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so without, now in these last days, we don't have to have prophets. We don't have to have those that's proclaiming new revelation. And by the way, there is no new revelation. Everything that God wants us to know is contained in these books that we hold in our lap tonight, in one book called the Bible. So we don't need any new revelation, because He doesn't speak that way now. He speaks to us through His Son. And He speaks to us through His Spirit and guides and directs us. And so His it tells us here in verse 3 that the Son is the brightness of His glory, or God's glory. The Son is the express image of His person, or God's person. And He upholds all things by the word of His power. And so tonight we're going to heaven. And why we have a blessing ahead of us is because everything's already been paid for. I'm glad I don't have to pay for my sins. I'm glad I don't have to try to work things out. I'm glad I don't have to turn over a new leaf. I'd have to do that no telling how many times a day. Because we can never accomplish what needs to be done for us to go to heaven. And so the fare that has been given to us in the Word of God that brings us to glory, the Lord paid my sin debt. Thank God He paid it all. All to Him I owe. The old song says, our sins were as crimson, but He made them white as snow. And so tonight we have the purging of our sins. We have the payment for our sins, and it's all planned by an omnipotent God and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have one avenue whereby we can go to heaven. Not four or five ways. There's not five or six different routes. I don't know if you've ever had anybody tell you this, but I've had many people say, well, we're all going to the same place. We're just taking a different route. I got a problem with that. There's only one route, and that's Jesus. Only one way to glory, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes people make that statement not understanding really what they're saying, and I believe they are probably saved. But we don't have a lot of routes. We don't have a lot of roads. Now, we take different avenues, and we believe different things, and that's why we have denomination. People believe differently. But the main thing to believe is that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is the Son of God. He died for our sins, and we trust Him. And so the way to get to glory, where these things are reserved for the believer, is in one little word called faith. Faith comes by hearing. We hear the message, we hear the Word of God, and we experience this belief. Sometimes folks say, well, I just can't believe it. What they're really saying to you is, I really don't have faith. I don't have enough faith to take me to that point of belief and trust. I know some folks that try to figure it all out. They take the ins and the outs. Everybody's different. Everybody's mind works different. There's some people that just want to pick it all apart and try to figure it out. And if you can figure out faith, you don't have faith. Faith is not explainable. Faith is that substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And so faith is believing the unbelievable. The human mind says, can't nobody die for me and make a difference. But faith in Jesus Christ tells you that it's different than that. The human mind will say it's impossible to know that I can go to heaven. But the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you are a child of God. And so we find here that faith is given to us, and thank God it's free too. Salvation is free. Faith that brings us to salvation is free. For by grace are you saved, how? Through faith. Not through our works, not through our deeds, not through our trying to figure it out, but we are saved by our belief and our trust, sometimes in things that we just don't understand. Who tonight in this building could explain to me how that we can believe in somebody we've never seen and trust that individual and die and go to heaven? We can't explain that. The mind of man can't figure that out. The only way you can believe that is what? By faith. I can't prove that the world was created by God. I can't prove that God spoke. I wasn't there to hear it. I wasn't there to experience it. But by faith, I believe it because this book tells us by faith. I wasn't there when Noah got off of the ark. If I'd have been there before he got on the ark, I probably wouldn't have been there after it either. And so these things we have by this thing called free faith, the freedom of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about salvation is free. The only thing it did, it cost Jesus Christ His life. It wasn't free to Him, very costly to Him. Doesn't cost me anything, but it cost Him His blood, cost Him His life. And we realize these things are given. So therefore, glory awaits us. And that's why it awaits us. That's why it's there. Is because we're going to heaven because of the Savior. And we're going to heaven because of the salvation that comes through faith. Even though the fight gets hard and long and furious, doesn't take a whole lot of teaching on this. The fight with Satan continually goes on. If you didn't battle him today, just wait, you will tomorrow. If you don't battle him before you go to bed tonight, you're battling when you get up in the morning. There's always a struggle. There's always the conflict. There's always the tug of the world. There's always the tug of the wicked one. We have the flesh that we have to deal with. I don't know about you, I think I do, but on what I talk about me, I have to deal with the flesh. I have to deal with what I want to do, not necessarily what God wants me to do. The flesh is weak. The flesh is unable. We call it the carnality of the flesh. It's still carnal. Sometimes we let the carnal flesh overtake. And that's why Paul had to write to the Corinthians. He says, ye are yet carnal. You're not living as you should. And there's always a conflict with the enemy. Every morning I get up, first thing I do usually is turn on the news, primarily to find out who's killed who. Somebody said the other day, said they wish they had a news channel, just good news. Well, we probably wouldn't turn to it because we don't want to hear the good news. We'd rather hear the bad news. We'd rather hear what's going on. Thank God there are some good things going on. They're just not reported too much. But there's a conflict. There's a conflict between nations. There's conflict between dignitaries and rulers of nations. There's conflict everywhere you look. And there's conflict among people of God. There's conflict among us in the world. But you know the greatest conflict that you deal with? Conflict's in your own heart. Fighting it daily, struggling continually. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I go that direction? I knew better. Have you ever said, I don't know why I did that, I knew better? I said that more than I should. I don't know why I did that, I knew I shouldn't have done that. We know, but sometimes we don't do as we know. And so there's a conflict. The Bible says there's a war that goes on. It's a war between us and our flesh. It's a war between the saved individual and the world. It's a conflict between us and the devil. Everywhere we look, there's a conflict. There's a war. There's a battle that goes on. But thank God we are kept by the power of the Lord. If we wasn't kept by the power of God, we would be destroyed. If we wasn't kept by His power, we sure can't keep by our power. Our flesh is weak. Our body grows weary. Our mind grows tired. We give up and say there's no use. But then we think about what we have. I don't know, sometimes we get sort of down, get sort of discouraged. And then the Lord will just come by and offer us and give to us just some handful on purpose. Just some things on purpose to let us know He's still there. To let us know that He's still in control. To let us know that everything is well. Even though we don't think it's well, God says it's okay. I know the end of the story, and I know who's going to win the battle, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what's going to happen from here to there, but I know who's going to win. I don't know all the details about what's going to come to this world, but I know one thing, the world's going to come to the place that He wants it to when it's designated to do that. We're going to finish our course. You could call the message tonight, I guess, the best is yet to come. Eye has not seen. We've seen a lot of beauty. Sometimes all you got to do is get up in the morning before 10 o'clock. Sometimes all you got to do in the morning is get up and see the sunrise. What beauty there is. In the afternoon over here, just right over that direction, some of the most beautiful skies that a person could ever imagine. I've seen them, and I've hurriedly got in my car so I get rid of the trees and get a better view. And the time I get there, it's gone. If you don't get it while it's there, it's gone. It's like a lot of things. But God's given us a world that's filled with beauty, but our eyes hadn't even seen what God has prepared for us. I can imagine the things that I've seen. I can remember the things that I've seen. I can remember seeing some beautiful places in our country. I've traveled a little bit in different places, and I can remember some of it, but my eye hasn't seen what He's got for me. My eye hasn't seen the beauty of heaven. And the only way that the Lord could give us a little picture of heaven, He had to use word pictures. In the book of the Revelation it says, and I believe it's true, but it's a word picture that tells us that heaven has a street of gold. Now that'd be beautiful. We wear gold. I saw the other day they selling a $10 gold piece for $1,400, something like that. I said, well, that's overpriced. I wish I'd have got it when it was a $10 gold piece. And so it's very, very precious. But heaven has a street of gold. And one day I was thinking, I heard somebody else say it too, that in heaven, the gold is just the pavement of heaven. We have pavement here. We don't think too much about it. Well, in heaven, the gold is the pavement. The word picture of the joy and the beauty of heaven is that there's 12 gates of pearl. One pearl per gate. And you know what? It takes a lot of faith to believe that. It takes a lot of faith because pearls are small. But in heaven, the whole gate is of one pearl, according to Revelation. And so my eye hasn't seen those beautiful things. But you can take all the beautiful things that God has for us. The greatest thing we'll ever see is the center of heaven, and that's the Lord. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. We can't even imagine. The only way we could think about heaven that John puts it into word pictures, that we could put a earthly vision to something that's in heaven that doesn't even touch the beauty of what it will be like. And so we have a wonderful time that awaits us. The best is yet to come. The best is before us. And one of these days we'll say goodbye to this old world. We'll leave here. And if it's when the Lord comes and we are ushered into His presence, we'll say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We go to the cemetery, and boy, it seems so final. It seems, when you go there the casket is there and your loved one is there, and you walk away and the director says, come back in about an hour and we'll have everything fixed. We'll have the flowers placed. Really what they're saying, come back in an hour and the dirt will be on top. We don't want to think about that. But there's a day coming. The best is yet to come. There's a day coming when the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive remain will be caught up to be with them forever. And forever. We'll say farewell to this world. We'll say farewell to the many things that are bad. Sinful world, sinful people, sorrows. You name it, they're there. But we'll say farewell to many things that are good. Sweet hour of prayer. You won't need it in heaven. It's good here. It's great to be able to pray here. You won't be able to pray. Won't need to pray there. There's no needs. And most of our prayers, we might as well be honest, most of our prayers are directed to the Lord as to what He can do for me. Lord, I need this. Lord, I want this. Lord, I have a problem with this. Lord, I need my health. Lord, I need... It's always coming to us. But prayers are not just usward. The Lord says our prayers are like a sweet-smelling aroma or odor that comes up to Him, expressing our love and gratitude to Him. When we leave this world, we'll not have to worry about getting up on Sunday morning going to church. We'll be there. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that there's a day coming when the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, they're going to be gathered together. The word assembly is where the word ecclesia literally is assembly. And we get our word church from that. It should be assembly. But we get our word from ecclesia. We use the word church. But when we get to heaven, we're not going to have to go to church. We're going to be there. We are the church. And so we find that we'll have our things that we say farewell here. The buildings will be gone. We don't have to worry about a building. We'll be in heaven. And so the joys of the Lord, glory, is awaiting us. And our fight one day will be finished. Praise the Lord. We can lay down the armor. We can lay down the battle. Not worry about the battlefield anymore, but our armor will be laid before Him. One of these days, our fight will finish. Our work on earth will be done. It'll be over. Now, it could happen very quickly. It could happen tonight for me or for you. I relayed the story of the young man in my daughter's church, 57 years old, that fell dead, just prime of health, had just gotten a health checkup, everything passed well, no problems. He goes out and runs on Friday morning, comes back in as he does every day before he goes to work. He was a pharmacist. And he comes back and begins to fix the breakfast as he does every morning. And before he got the breakfast fixed, he was in the floor. And the coroner said before he ever hit the floor, he was dead. No reason why, no health issues, no problems. You know what? He kept his appointment. That appointment was his. And his daughter was there, and she's doing medical in college, and she did CPR on him. And she says, harshest thing I ever did. And three of the children during the funeral got up and made some statements about their father. And she says, that was the hardest thing I've ever done. But you see, he's far better off tonight than he was Friday morning. He's far better off than when he was breathing. He's in the glory. His fight is over. His flight has taken place, and he awaits those of us to come after him. So praise the Lord tonight. We ought to have something to smile about. We have a glory that is awaiting us. The best is yet to come. It's just a little while down the road. But it could be tonight, and it will be tonight for somebody. May God help us to realize, even in the midst of struggles and problems and trials and testings, that we've got a lot to live for. We've got a lot to look forward to, because our fare has been paid. Paid in full. And one day I'll go to be with Him. Let's stand together.